And I appreciate the singing, Mike. You did a great job. Thought about something again this week as I was studying and preparing and praying, and I heard somebody else say this. God already took into account your inability to live right when he saved you. Amen. God already took into account our stupidity when he saved us. And he saved us anyhow. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. Probably one of my favorite places to preach. Y'all know that I love David and Goliath, and I love Daniel in the lion's den, or the three Hebrew children. Amen. This passage of scripture here really speaks to me every time I read it. And as I was reading it again this week, it's almost like the Lord just showed you something different. You got the same thing, but in a little different way. Amen. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Look at chapter 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Note, don't forget that part right there. He commanded the biggest warriors he had to bind them and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Amen. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to stand and preach your word, God. God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in this church, God. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight, God. I pray, God, you'd speak to us tonight through your word, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd go to each and every pew, God. Everybody in this building needs what's going to be preached here tonight, God. Because we might not need it tonight. We might need it next week, God. But have your way right now, and we'll praise you. We'll honor you. We'll give you glory for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. When we read this story, and we all know this story, we sing about it, that we teach it in children's church, and they got little children's song about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All we ever think about is the fire. Yeah. But there's a lot more to this story than just the fire. Amen. I want to just for a little while tonight look at some other things in this story besides the fire. Number one, let's look at the foe. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, the breadth of it 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. It was at least 90 feet high and 9 to 10 feet wide at the bottom. Most scholars don't even know what this really was. Some think that it was set up as an image of the king, but a lot of scholars say that it was probably just like an oblique, just a straight shot up or with a point at the top, something something like what we would look at the Washington Monument, something sort of that. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what it was built like or how it was built. The thing is why it was built. Now think about it. It was built to draw worship away from the one true living God. So that tells me right there, Chucky, it was satanically motivated. Amen. We find chapter 2, we find Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to eat the king's meat. They refused to eat of the king's dainties. And they said, just give us water and beans, and we're going to worship our God. Well, at the end of the test, they looked better than the rest of them. And the king said, hey, your God must be together. And then we come to chapter 3, this same king. I believe Satan moved on him, Skip, to do anything that will move you away from the worship of the one true God is satanically motivated. Right. Now, let me read. The Bible tells us in Exodus, we all know this. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, and God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It was a form of worship. It was a form of religion that this king was trying to do. In other words, it can be a form of worship or a form of religion, but anything that draws you away. Oh, there's a lot in church today. Amen. There's a lot in church today that will draw you away from the one true and living God. Any preacher that gets up and tries to brag on himself, any singer that gets up and tries to brag on himself, any church that gets up and tries to brag, I almost don't want to say what I'm getting ready to say. But I've heard David say it before in Sunday school. And I've heard, let me tell you something. If you're the one out there and there ain't nothing wrong with doing this in the right way, amen. But if you're the one out there and you're gathering stuff just so you can put your church on Facebook and everybody pat your church on the back for what you're doing for the disaster relief, you're doing it for the wrong reason and you're drawing it away from the one true living God. So any preacher that, I remember going to a revival one night. It's amazing that the preacher's last name was Love. He got up and talked about how he had this degree and that degree, and he went to this college and that college, and man, I turned him off right then. Everything that looks churchy ain't churchy. Everything that looks right ain't right, amen? And let me tell you something. To the world, what they were doing that day might have looked all right. See, you got to understand something. The children of Israel were not the only ones, Chucky, in bondage there. There were all other nations, all other languages that was in bondage there. But it's amazing to me that all those thousands of the children of Israel that they brought over there, there was only three of them standing for what was right. We have a foe. His name is Satan. And you better believe he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? That's his job. That's all he wants. Satan will make it look like worship when it ain't worship. Satan will make it look like church when it ain't church. Satan will draw you away. Satan will pull you. Oh, he don't care. He don't care if you go to church. He just don't want you to go to church and be right with God. He don't care if you go to a church. He just don't want you going to a Holy Ghost-filled church. Amen. That's what Satan does. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles there comes from the Greek word methodoa, which we get our word method from. And basically what it means is trickery. That's what Satan does. He'll fool you right here in this church. He'll draw you away right here in this church. Amen? If you ain't careful, I'm telling you right now, if we're not careful, Satan will do his very, oh, he can get in. He knows exactly what buttons to push. He knows exactly where the key is and how to turn it. He knows how to get in your mind. He knows how to get in your family. He knows how to get in your thoughts. He knows how to get in your truck and in your car, and he'll do his utmost to destroy you. The foe, we got to keep our eyes open for Satan, amen? Now let's look at the fight. Daniel chapter 3, verse 89 says this, wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. They come sucking up to the king. They had already made the proclamation. At what time you hear all the music, everybody's got to bow down and worship this here king, this here graven image that the king set up. They go to the king in verse 12, and they say, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs and province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, everybody else in the region has bowed down, Jamie. Everybody else, all the other governors, all the other provinces, all the others that were out there, every one of them's bowed down except for these three. Basically what they were saying, what you going to do about it, King? How many of y'all realize we in a fight? Only three stood for what was right. Only three. The king said, I'll give you another chance. These guys, the king had promoted them. These guys were like governors over provinces. The king said, hold on a minute. I'm going to give you one more chance. We're going to play the music one more time. And if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you in the fire. Well, the first time, they didn't bow. But now they've been threatened. The first time you didn't bow, but let me put this gun to your head. The first time you didn't bow, but let me start throwing people in the fire and see what happens. There was a man named Polycarp back in through the time. He was burned at the stake and pierced with a spear for refusing to burn incense to the Roman emperor. His last words were these, 86 years have I served him. He hath done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king and my savior? And they lit the fire and burned him at the stake. I mean, they're standing there. They got the fire in hand. They done poured the fuel on it. All you got to do is deny Jesus and we'll save you. Nope, I ain't doing it. That's the same mindset Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. If you don't have that kind of mindset, you listen to me. If you don't have that kind of mindset tonight, you will bow to anything that comes along. You got to have your mind made up right now. You better have your mind made up before the fire's lit. You better have your mind made up before the fiery furnace is on fire. You better have your mind made up. Hey, he's either been a good God to you or he ain't been a good God to you. He's either been there for you. He's been, hey, praise the Lord. Mike just sung about it a while ago. He either is God or he ain't God. And from what I preached this past Sunday, praise God, we know Jesus is who he said he was. Amen. Verse 16 and 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, we ain't got to think about this. Don't bother turning up the volume on the guitars. Don't bother cranking the band up no more. We ain't even got to think about this. We ain't going to bow down, and our God we know is able to save us from that fire if he wants to, but even if he don't save us from that fire, we still ain't bowing down. There's a fight, folks. You better be ready for it because it's coming. Amen? All right, we got the foe, we got the fight. Look at the fall. I studied this and studied this, David, and this is where God spoke to me on this message in this passage of Scripture right here. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning furnace. Go back to what I told you a while ago. The king got the mightiest men in the army. I'm talking about these here 6'5", 300-pound jokers. I mean, and the Bible says they cast them in. They didn't just pick them up there and push them. Sometimes there's going to be a fall in your life. You listen to me. Every one of us goes through it. If you ain't gone through it, you ain't been saved long enough. We all have ups and downs, amen? That's why I started out this message. God already factored in your stupidity. God already factored in your ignorance. God already factored in your flesh when he saved you. And he saved you anyhow. The Bible talks about how it was seven times hotter. The men that threw them in died from the heat. They were cast into the fire. There was a fall. You got to understand, I know there ain't a doubt in my mind. Even though they had a made-up mind, they had to be apprehensive. They had to be a little nervous. They had to be a little scared. If you hear not say that wouldn't have scared me, you are a liar. And we're going to have an altar call right now. Just come on down. You know they had to be scared. Nobody likes to fall. I'm talking about, I don't even like to fall in my home. Imagine being tied up. And now somebody picks you up and they throw you. And all they know, now look, get a picture of this. All they know, Jackie, we're standing for the Lord. Now we're tied up. And now we're in a fall. Yeah. Wow. They don't know where they're going to hit bottom. Nope. All they know is they're in a fall. Folks, that's part of life. I'm just telling you, that's part of life. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it. No. Not one bit. But the best thing about this story, there was somebody there to catch him. Amen. Let's look at the fire. We all go through the fire. There's going to be falls and there's going to be fires. Amen. But the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says this, but that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are the work of thy hands. Understand something. When the potter takes the clay and the potter puts it in the fire, he molds it like he wants it to be. He gets it right where he wants it to be, but it ain't ready yet until it goes through the fire. And when it goes through the fire, that clay, the molecular structure of that clay changes. It changes from something soft and something pliable until something hard and something permanent. Glory to God. You ought to praise God when God has enough confidence in you to put you through the fire. And you ought to understand. I heard one old preacher say one time, when the potter puts the clay in the fire, he sits there and watches it. He never takes his eyes off of it. And the only time the potter takes it out the fire is when the clay starts singing. Glory to God. Somebody ought to shout right there. We all going to go through the fall. We all going to go through the fire. Glory to God. But let me tell you something. Without the fire, you won't be the Christian that God wants you to be. Ooh, mama. If I told David, God's told me that you're going to go through a fire next week. David, it would upset David to no end. If I told Chucky or Larry or Grant, nobody wants to go through the fire. But look what the fire did. Verse 27, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Number one, the fire set them free. They were bound going in, but glory to God, when he caught them and set them down on their feet, they were loose, glory to God. Understand, the fire set them free. It burned off the ropes that bound them. The fire had no power over them. It killed the ones that bound them and didn't even singe their hair. Somebody ought to shout right there, amen. It killed the ones that throwed them in, but it didn't even singe their hair. Before they got in the fire, it was so hot it killed people. But not them. Amen. The fire didn't even burn their clothes. When I read this today, I got thinking about it. The Bible says that when they come out, they didn't even have the smell of fire. My Lord, you come within 100 yards of somebody burning something, you go home stinking like fire. Amen. They didn't even have the smell. God's trying to help us tonight. God's trying to prove us tonight. Maybe you're here tonight or you're listening tonight. I'm telling you, you're going through something. You're going through what? Maybe it's hard. But when God, let me tell you something. I got to think about it. Everybody that's ever been through the fire will say, this side of the fire looks a whole lot better than that side of the fire.
Right.
Amen. I guarantee you, when Job come out the other side of the fire that Job had to come through, when Job looked back, Job probably said, hey, this side of the fire looks a lot better than that side of the fire. You got to understand something. God might be got you in the fire tonight. God might be proving you tonight. But God's got a reason. And God's going to pull you out. And God's going to set you up. And God's going to put you where he wants you to be. The freedom. Look at the freedom. Verse 26. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. They threw you in, glory to God, but you're going to walk out. My God, I ought to have a running spell right there. They threw you in, but they come walking out. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by God's hand being on them, the fire couldn't burn them. And glory to God, when they got cast in, we don't know how deep it was. All we know is they still walked out. The fire still burning. When they come out, they don't even smell like smoke. The fire's still on fire. But glory to God, they're on this side now. I was sitting there kind of writing all this stuff out today, and I got... He set me free. He set me free. I'm too tired to sing. The freedom. Listen, folks. It's real. It's real. They were bound going in, but they were brave coming out. They were scared going in, but they were shouting coming out. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. They were confident of their God. Going in. But when they come out, they were witnesses of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's one thing to have a confidence in your God. It's one thing to say, I know my God can. I know my God can. I know my God can. But bless God, when they throw you in the fire and all the ropes burn off and you come back out the fire, you say, I know my God did. I know my God did. Somebody ought to shout tonight. You've been there. You've had your prayers answered. I know my God did. I know my God healed me of cancer. I know my God saved my son. I know my God brought me out. I know my God can. Praise the Lord. Whew. If you don't ever go through the fire, you don't ever know. Understand something. There was a friend in the fire. He was there, Jamie, before they went in. Jamie, before you had to go through your sickness, he was already there. Mike, before you had to go through everything you've had to go through, he was already there. There ain't nothing ever took him by surprise. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. And just like the song said, he's still in the fire. Amen. There's a friend in the fire. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says this, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Psalms 91 verse 1 through 4 says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Every time I read that, I'm reminded of the story of the firemen that were working this forest fire, and it had burned up, and the fire was gone. And they come and they find this they look like a little rock or something, and they get over there and look at it, and it's a dead chicken, burnt to a crisp. And one of them kicked it. And when it fell over, about 7 or 8 biddies ran out. You worried about the fire? Bless God, he's over you just like this. We got a friend that said, I'll stick closer than a brother. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, I got some good godly friends, amen. I got some good friends that I'll be honest with you, I think they'd go through the fire with me. But there's some of them I don't know about. Yeah. But I got one, glory to God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you till the very end, amen. That's the kind of friend that we got in the fire. Whew. And then we got the favor. Verse 30. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let me tell you something, folks. You hang in there. There's a promotion coming. Amen. There's a promotion coming. Glory to God. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Amen. My mind is already made up. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at right now. I want you to let's stand to our feet, bow your heads. Maybe you got a need and you want to come down to this altar. Maybe you got a need. Maybe you just want to come worship him. Maybe you just want to come praise him for all the times that you went through the fire and you didn't feel no hurt. All the times that you went through the fire and he was hovering over you. All the time. Hey, it set you free. And understand something. The only reason it set you free is because he was in there with you, amen.